In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Jesse was the father of David, the king, and David was the father of Solomon, by the wife of Uriah. Matthew 1. King Edward VIII of England is not the heroic king who led the British against war and oppression. He was not the famed leader who put the needs of the people before the crown. He was not the inspiration for a Shakespearean play or movie producer. King Edward VIII was an absolutely disappointing king who abdicated his throne just to marry a divorced woman. Names like Henry VIII and Elizabeth I and even Elizabeth II will be remembered through the ages, but not Edward. Edward is barely little more than a brief footnote to, or, you know, a black mark on the British monarchy. St. Matthew introduces Jesus to his readers by tracing the lineage of the promised Messiah through kings and patriarchs, heroes and disappointments. He begins his gospel with the words, "The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." Matthew packs great meaning into just one sentence, pointing back to Jesus' ancestors and the prophecies of the long-promised Savior. Jesus came to be greater than his fathers David and Abraham by ushering in a kingdom that shall have no end. God's plan before the foundation of the world was that one of David and Abraham's own descendants would be the one who would redeem God's people. Have you guys noticed nowadays how much interest there is in genealogists today? In the past, you know, such interest was would be limited to maybe one dutiful family member who knew everyone and who would gather all this information together and begin reconstructing the family tree. However, genealogy websites have simplify such work so that even the most casual observers are able to explore their family histories and better understand their pasts. And the scientific advances of DNA are also allowing people to explore even more. Not just one or two branches of the family tree, but everyone, and also to understand how all these generations of the past have come together in each unique individual family member. In this week's of Advent, we will be talking about, the significance of some of Jesus' ancestors and unpack that in how God was at work weaving in his plan of salvation through the history of his chosen people. A people that he reveals to us in the Old Testament and all the way to Joseph and Mary. And tonight, we want to see that David's son is David's Lord. And he rules on David's throne forever. Unlike King Edward VIII, King David is considered the great hero of Judah and Israel. After those kingdoms fell on account of their sinfulness and unbelief, many waited in hope that one day one of David's descendants would come and restore Israel to its former glory. And they hoped for a warrior king who would crush their enemies and make them a nation that was again to be feared by everyone. But why does Matthew call Jesus the son of David when he was descended of other kings as well? Jesus was also descended of Manasseh, the king who led Judah and all inhabitants of Jerusalem to do more evil than all the enemies, their enemies and nations around them. Why did Matthew not want to focus on, let's say, Manasseh, the king who sacrificed his own sons to false gods and filled Jerusalem with blood from one side of the city to the other? Of course, no one wants to remember King Manasseh because he was a thing, a part of history that probably most would prefer to forget. He did what he was evil on the side of the Lord, like so many before him, and like still others who would follow him. He was like King Israel, an embarrassment. A shameful excuse for a king. But Matthew includes the genealogy precisely because he wants to remind us that Jesus came to save and redeem all. The greatest heroes and the worst favors. We could just as easily call Jesus the son of Manasseh, because it would remind us that Jesus' purposes in coming to this earth was not to return Judah and Israel to their former glory, but to establish an eternal kingdom that is founded not on account of power and might, but on mercy and grace. He came to rescue all of those whose hearts were stained by sin. David, the man after God's own heart, also did what is evil in the sight of the Lord. The boy who killed the giant Goliath would need someone to rescue him. King David would be reminded by the prophet Nathan of his own sin and his own need for a savior. And confronted by his own sin, David in Psalm 51 acknowledges that he was sinful from the time that he was conceived. The great and mighty king would bow before God in repentance, begging God not to banish him from the Lord's presence, nor to take the Holy Spirit from him. David, the shepherd who struck down both lion and bear, was easy prey for the prowling lion Satan. And therefore, David needed a greater shepherd to strike down the devil. The conquering David, who triumphed over all his enemies, could not master sin or death. And so he would need one to triumph over these enemies for him. The man who had everything he could imagine, and to whom God would have given even more, was not content with what he had received. Instead, he took Bathsheba as his own wife, even though that meant murdering her husband. He did what was evil in the eyes of the Lord. Yet, God was indeed merciful and restored him by forgiving him of all of his sins for the sake of his descendant who was to come. During one of the confrontations between Jesus and the Pharisees, Jesus asked them, "What do you think about the Christ, the Messiah? Whose son is he?" And they all answered, "The son of David." But then Jesus responded to them by quoting Psalm 110 and asking them, "How could David call his own descendant his Lord?" The Pharisees never would understand. But the mighty King David believed that his own descendant would be infinitely greater than he, would indeed come to be his Lord. Peter, in our second reading from Acts tonight, also quoted this psalm in his Pentecost sermon about the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Peter noted that David's own descendants would reign on his throne. But this descendant and king would be different from his father. David, who died and is buried to this day, but now his descendant would not. David's son was raised from the dead and ascended to the Heavenly Father's right hand. So while Jesus is the son of David and the son of Manasseh, he is an altogether different kind of king. He is the only truly righteous king, whose kingdom will have no end. He is the one who comes to save the high and mighty who fall from their thrones, and the meek and lowly who have no strength of their own. There is no one righteous before God, not even the great King David. Therefore, God would send one who would become our righteousness. As the prophet Jeremiah foretold in our first reading tonight, "In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called: the Lord is our righteousness." Jesus is also a king with a different crown. He had a crown of thorns adorning his head. He was covered not in beautiful robes, but in sin and shame. He was the son's sacrifice for the sins of his fathers, Manasseh and David. The Lion of Judah became the Lamb who was slain, the King who put the needs of the people before the crown. In fact, he gave up his crown and abdicated the throne, not for his own selfish motives, but that he might save the nation. Jesus Christ is the King who puts the needs of the people before the crown, because it was better that one man should die for the nation than the entire nation would perish, even if it meant it was the king who had to die. So the king took on the form of a servant and became obedient to death, even death upon the cross. On that day of his death, the inscription of his head was the only thing that would mark Jesus as a king. But there the son of David died. He died for David, he died for Manasseh, he died for kings and queens, peasants and paupers, rich and poor, strong and weak, young and old, for sinners from every family. You are also sons and daughters of David, for you have inherited from David his sin and shame. Yet Jesus, the Son of David, came to save all who share in David's weakness, in his frailty, in his sin, not just the father, but all of his sinful children. So Matthew begins his gospel with, which focuses on the kingdom of God coming near to us by calling Jesus the Son of David. And Jesus is the one who ushers in the kingdom of heaven that is proclaiming his word and given to us by grace and received by faith. So we can join with King David and say the words of Psalm 145. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. Let's say that together. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. Thanks be to God that that kingdom has come to us also. In the name of Jesus. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.